is so good. God is so good. I'm thankful to be here. Simply put, I just want to pray before we get started. And so if you all can bow with me. Heavenly Father, we rejoice and praise and thank you for this wonderful morning, for the safe travels allowing us to get here, for the grace that you have shown us once again in breathing life into us this morning. We are thankful for who you are, for all that you have done. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to worship you, for an opportunity to sing your praises, for an opportunity to celebrate the Prince of Peace. We rejoice and thank you in all of that. Allow us to be able to hear your words for your grace and your glory to be captured and to be exalted. We rejoice in all those things and we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen. You all can take a seat. Whew. Well, I am happy to be here, happy to see you all. I'm happy to be back. I have a mic. I don't really need one because I'm loud. But I'm super excited to be able to worship with you all this morning. It is an honor to be here. Thank you all so much for welcoming me here and for giving me an opportunity to be able to worship with you, to celebrate what the Lord has done in my life, our ministry, and who we are and what we do. What I want to do for you all this morning is a few things. I want to first talk about what we do as a ministry at Sunrise. A lot of you all know about what we do and who we are, but I want to share a little bit about that. I then want to share a special story for you all, one that is specifically just a little close to heart because it's my story. And then most importantly, I want us to walk through some scripture to point us back to the ultimate hope, which is so wonderful about this season of Christmas, this Advent season, that we can land in that place of rejoicing and finding hope in Jesus in the light of the darkness of this world. Sunrise has been around a long time. I would assume that some of you all have been there. At some point in time, you have served in some capacity, you have prayed. I know you've heard it from your leadership here at church as well. But Sunrise is a unique place, a safe haven of hope, a beacon of light in a really dark place. We serve abused and neglected children across the state of Kentucky. We've been around for a long time. This year, we're celebrating over 150 years of serving. So it's not just something that just happened. We've been around for a long time. In response to actually the Civil War is when we first started as an orphanage for children running around Louisville at the time. And fast forward to where we are today, approximately 23% of the children that are served by the state of Kentucky walk through Sunrise doors in some capacity. Last year, we served nearly 1,400 kids, which is amazing. Last year, although we're really just making a dent, there were 7,500 kids in foster care in the state of Kentucky. That number has gone up. I believe as of last month, we were almost at 8,700. So that number's gone up over 1,000 from last year to this year with the amount of children that are in foster care within the state of Kentucky. So many of those kids can walk through difficult things, different challenges, unique challenges, and often are in places in which they don't have a home or a safe haven or somewhere that will care and love them in the midst of their chaos. Sunrise gets the opportunity to do that. So we not only serve here locally, you know, here in Danville, right down the street from you all, but we have five campuses like what we have in Danville across the state. We stretch from Pikeville to Paducah. For those who don't know, the state of Kentucky, that is from literally one tip of the state of Kentucky all the way to the other. We serve. We're the largest provider of care within the state of Kentucky for children. But one thing's unique about what we do at Sunrise is the lens in which we choose to serve. For those who don't know, we are Christ-centered ministries. And what that means is the lens in which we choose to serve in love is to point the community back to the cross. We specifically try to cherish and love on these children through the lens of Jesus, loving because we were first loved, believing that every child deserves a home because they are found worthy and valuable to the Lord, and choosing to care and love in that capacity, because that's what we're called to do, caring for the orphan and widowed. That's why we choose to serve and love at Sunrise. And that's why so many wonderful partners like your church has been a champion for our kids. And so I am thankful for all the things that you all have been able to do. I have seen the faces of our kiddos, the times that you all have come, the request of whatever food you bring is so amazing. Amy, you do a fantastic job. I know you work behind the scenes, and so I'm going to praise you in public. Rejoice for who you are and how you have served and loved our community. I don't know if, I'm sure you hear it some, but I'm sure you don't hear it enough. Thank you for all that you do and how you choose to serve and love our children. It is not possible without the multiple phone conversations we have and things I forget to say. And so I appreciate you for all that you serve and love. It is a wonderful gift to be here because the Sunrise story intertwines with my own. I not only work for Sunrise, I'm kind of a Sunrise lifer in some capacity. And what I mean by that is I'm a former Sunrise kid. I was served by Sunrise 23-ish years ago. And so the stories of the children that are impacted and things they have walked through, I have understanding of. Now, I don't understand every struggle, but I understand the hopelessness and the despair and the harsh reality of not finding a home or not having a home. In this Advent season, I think it's important that we all reflect back on the times of hopelessness and the hope that has been brought to us through the birth of Jesus. Don't worry about that, baby. You do you, mama. Sorry. I've got a little one just turned one. It is what it is. You know what the baby noise is? That is a display of grace more than anything else, that there are babies that are being heard in the church. Praise the Lord for that. And so you feel no shame. You live your life. I enjoy it. It's a reminder of my own babies. That was not planned. That is not on the outline of things to be shared. But just want to make sure you are heard, mama. My wife would hate that if I did that in public. So I'm sorry. If in any way that is how it comes up in conversation later over lunch. Please welcome me back. I appreciate it. But I am. It's a unique opportunity for me to share aspects of my story because I get to relive the hope in my life. I get to relive not the struggles and the trials, but the victory that the Lord has given me in my life. As a child, I was given up for birth, given up for adoption at birth. My biological mother was and is a paranoid schizophrenic. She struggles with bipolar disease and has other mental struggles and issues. As a result of some of those things, I was given to the family, the Ragland family. For those who don't know the adoption process, it's a difficult one and comes with all kinds of hoops and things you have to jump through. One difficult part of that is there's a time frame in which the biological family can come back and take the child. And my biological mother decided that she didn't want to go through the adoption. One of the challenges about my story, something I learned literally 3 months ago about my story, is that I never understood how my God family became a part of my life. I thought that they were just people that were good friends or aunts or uncles or someone somehow that someone knew. I discovered and continued the theme of hopelessness that my biological mother met someone at a yard sale, and this, as she was pregnant with me, and got the phone number of a random person she had never met and said, "Do you want this child?" Having my own babies, I could never imagine putting that amount of value on my child's life. And that theme continued for me. My biological mother only wanted me to be part of her life for 3 to 4 days a week, because that's how she received financial benefit. I stayed with my God family the rest of the time. Well, this began a, for lack of better words, a theme in my life, and a cycle in which, as a child and as a baby and as a toddler, and even as an adult, I wrestled with feeling like I didn't have any value or worth, that I couldn't be loved, that I was beyond loving. One of the last things my biological mother said to me was that she hated me and everything was my fault, which rang like a bell in the back of my head over and over and over. But little did I know, that was a way of the Lord keeping me. And he was planting seeds for something greater to come. I didn't realize the hope that was on the horizon. At the age of 3, I began to deal with child abuse and neglect. And that continued the same cycle of anger, frustration, despair, hopelessness. And I arrived in a place in which I thought, the one person who was supposed to love my mother didn't love me. How could I be loved? My biological father was never present in my life. I didn't learn his name until about 6 or 7 years ago. And the people that were in my life at the time were people that weren't always the best examples. As a result of that despair and depravity of my world at the time, I attempted suicide for the first time at the age of 8. I attempted twice in the span of about a year and tried to take my own life. A difficult part of my life and season, of course, and another reminder that I thought I couldn't be loved and I had no value and worth. A portion of that is not only would I try to take my own life, but my biological mother, who was in the home both times, never tried to save me. My biological sister is the one who broke down the doors to come and save me both times of trying to take my own life. So this theme continued over and over and over. I was then taken from my biological mother and was placed into foster care. I went to 13 different foster homes, 3 different mental hospital stays, multiple crisis units, and had arrived in a place where no one would take me in. I was abused in foster care. I have scars currently on my face from having my head slammed against refrigerator doors, having my face slammed against counters for not taking medication. That was my story. That is my story. Little did I know that there was a very wonderful phrase coming at the end of all of this. Didn't know what it was at the time, and it was planting a seed for ultimate hope to come in the future. And one of my favorite phrases within the Bible is simple, but God. Come on, but God, a simple phrase. But God. I didn't know at the time what he was doing, but I ran into a place called Sunrise Children's Services, and they gave me a home. I stayed at Sunrise for 2 years. For those who don't know, that is a long time. It's a very long time for the services that we provide. But it provided a safe haven for me, provided me with an opportunity to be loved and cared for. I got to experience my first haircut. I got to experience tying ties. I got to experience playing cards and yelling things for no reason. Playing basketball in weather just like this on outdoor courts. I got to experience what the joy of being a child. Sunrise gave me a place for a seed of hope to be planted. A unique opportunity for me to come to know more and more understanding within my life. In this season, and the end of this year, as we go into the Advent season, when you look at a lot of our stories, is there light in darkness? That's a challenge for us to believe, to receive, to understand. We know what it's like to be hopeless, even if you don't have the same story as mine. You know what it's like to be hopeless. You know what it's like to be without. You know what it's like to walk through dark times. And you say, is there anything for me? Some of us know there's light. Some of us are still struggling and crawling and clawing to see if there's anything on the outside of this. We are waiting. We are anticipating. We are hoping for hope. But God. In this world of darkness, we have difficult times and challenges of believing that there is hope for tomorrow. In this political climate, regardless, we have no specific place. In this cultural climate, we have no specific place. The challenges of the world continue to dampen out the light. But there is hope through God's promises. There is hope through God's promises. If you walk and turn with me to Romans 5, 3 through 5. Everybody there? Ish? All right. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. In these difficult challenges that we experience, in these seasons of life that we walk through, there's often a why God? Why God, why am I having to experience this? Why am I having to go through these challenges? And these are things that I asked myself for a long time. When I look back at my life and I said, Lord, like, I don't understand, like, why I had to go through those things. God, why would you bring a child to experience those things? God, why couldn't I just have a mama that loved me? Why couldn't I just have a daddy who would go and throw the football with me? I didn't understand. I didn't understand at the time that there were seeds being planted and that there was a beautiful story of his testimony being written. And that wouldn't just, the things that were I was experiencing that was not only producing strength in my life, but everything was happening was leading to a very specific type of hope. That I was given opportunities to build character. That I was given opportunities for it to be some endurance in my life. That I was given an opportunity for there to be a reason for my pain, a reason for my suffering. And although it was dark and there were challenges and it felt like there wasn't light at the end of the tunnel, that there was a glimmer on the horizon. The Lord knew that there was going to be light for me yet in my story and in my life. If you all can now turn with me to Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. As we are walking through these different passages, there's a beautiful, wonderful theme. Hope. Hope. A wonderful reminder of hope, of perseverance, of endurance, of character, that we can strive to keep going because there is a wonderful God. A wonderful God who understands and relates to our struggles. A wonderful God who not only relates to our struggles, but created this earth and knows every hair on your head. When the earth was created, he knew everything you were going to experience. He knew everything that you were going to walk through. And he knew that you had a need for a Savior. And because he's a just God, he provided that for us. Scripture is a constant reminder of a central theme. Hope is an easy word. In college, we used to call it the red thread. I was in college ministry as a college student, and red thread, there was a theme that went throughout of the same thing that was pointing to the same thing over and over and over. You all probably know that theme is Jesus, I would guess, for the most part. But it's wonderful because we as believers, you all, you can see hope now, but there was a time frame in which you didn't. And even those who love the Lord now, we walk through unique challenges of saying, Lord, I know that's your promise, but why am I having to walk through this? Lord, I know your promises are true, but why am I experiencing this pain? Why did that child have to walk through this? Why did we have to experience those challenges? Why did we have to go through that struggle? Why am I struggling with depression? Why am I struggling with anxiety? But we believe the promises are true. But one thing that is unique for us, and for many of you all who are here today, is that there has to be and is an act of hope. An active expectation. And you may say, what does that mean? Well, as you all have probably seen time and time again, what usually pops up around Christmas time? Nativity scenes. We see them all over the place. Well, a part of the nativity scene that I think sometimes gets left out is the act of hope and the act of expectation of those who are awaiting the arrival. If you all can turn with me now to Luke 2, 8 through 11. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior is Christ the Lord." What is so beautiful about the stories of the shepherds during this chapter of their lives is they not only had to believe, but they did much more than just that. They waited, but they could have went so many other directions. They could have allowed the fear to cripple them. They could have used that fear as a way to run away. But the angel said, "Do not fear, because a Savior is to be born." This season of hope, in this chapter of hope for us, the month of December, is a wonderful reminder of what the Lord has done for us. A chapter of my story doesn't end at sunrise. Although I was there for 2 years, and I awaited hope, and I awaited an opportunity to call a home my forever home, the Lord knew that there was more for me. For those who don't know, as most of you do not, I actually have two last names. Technically, my last name is Rawlings Watson. The reason why my name is hyphenated is because I was adopted at 15. For those who don't know, that does not happen. A child with my rap sheet of struggle and pain and anger does not get to find a forever home. But the Lord, once again, was just planting a seed for a future hope. My mom and my dad, I had the blessing of being disciplined once. I say that now because I have kids. so I can say that. I was supposed to play in a basketball game, and at that time I thought I was good. My head was real big. And I did something wrong at school. My mom said, I got home, she said, you're not playing. And I said, I'm not. Joke's on you. I am playing. Didn't go well for me. That was not received with open arms. My mom then laid the hammer down and said, you're not going. You are going. You're not playing, but you're going to sit on the sidelines. I said, absolutely not. Which resulted in lots of anger and yelling and throwing things and breaking things for me. And I looked at my mom and I said, send me back to Sunrise. I don't need to be here. I don't need to experience this. I don't want to. And I froze it on. I grew up on a 200-acre goat farm. So I'm like country. Some people say they're country. And I'm like, you're not really about that life. I remember breaking ice and doing things like that as a kid before school. And my mom looked at me and she said, Reuben, I'm not sending you back. And I was confused. And she said, you are mine, son. I didn't understand the weight of that statement at the time. But something so beautiful about that moment was in the midst of my chaos, in the midst of my struggle, in the midst of my depravity, she chose me. I share that with you all because for me, it planted a seed for a bigger picture. In this world, without hope, in this world of ultimate depravity, of struggles and trials, God gave us hope. He gave us a Savior. One that although we spit in His face every day, and we throw tantrums, and we fight, and we call, and we go against everything that He says, He looks at us and says, you are mine. And something that's so beautiful through Scripture and throughout our lives is that because of His love for us, that light and darkness will never extinguish. That hope will always be there, will always be a part of our lives. For those who don't know Him, you are loved in ways that you could never fathom. You are adored in ways that you couldn't imagine. This God who was set apart from us because of our sin, in which we deserve the ultimate wrath. When the earth was created, He said, I know what you're going to do, and I'm going to send a Savior for you. And it doesn't matter what you do and what you say and who you are, that cross that baby that will be born in the manger will lay down his life for you. You didn't deserve it, and you didn't earn it. But God, in his mercy, sent that Savior for us and for those who do know him. Let this season be a reminder of the grace that we have been shown. Let this season be a reminder of the hope in your life. Because although a lot of us may know him, it doesn't take away the pain. We still mourn the loss of our loved ones. We still question why. Difficult things happen to us. But one thing you can do is look towards that light and the coming hope of Jesus. I challenge you all to do that. Allow your lives to be reflections of Jesus and the light that has been shown in our lives. Allow your lives to be light in the darkness that has been shown and put on display. There is a unique opportunity for us as believers to be a reflection of the coming hope. Thankfully, your church, has been a reflection of the hope of Jesus. Your church has been a reflection of the light of the world that is needed. I have seen the faces of our kiddos and our babies at sunrise. Continue to love and to be light in that dark place. I'm thankful for this opportunity to share with you all, and I'm thankful for this opportunity to walk through this season of my life. For those who don't know him, my heart breaks for you in one way, but my heart rejoices in the coming joy and the coming hope that is there for you. Thank you all. Thank you all from the bottom of my heart for allowing me to walk through these different chapters in my life and for me to experience the hope of Jesus in a very unique way.